Sabbath, everyone. So some of you know that I've been gone for a while. So some of you know Jason. He was recently diagnosed with the olfactory cancer. I think anyone who deals with cancer that knows that cancer is very it's very unfair. So it's 11 p.m. I'm waiting in the surgery waiting room. It's in Vancouver. It's just me and Jason's mom. But at 11 p.m., someone comes in looking really distraught. And this person has a huge burden on her heart. I can tell. She's, I asked her, so when you're in the hospital, it's pretty easy to ask, so why are you here? She says that someone she cares for was, came here for a perforated bowel. So this person is named Nada, and the other person's named Che. I'm not sure if it's her boyfriend or her husband or something. So she was saying that it sounds like their relationship is very complicated. And she was saying that after a heavy bout of drinking, Che was in a lot of pain, but he refused to go call 911. So after a lot of insistence, she called 911. And what happened is they picked him up. The situation was kind of strange because, okay, I guess I learned a little bit about Canadian healthcare system. When one of the hospitals were full, I guess our hospitals are full also. So he went to another hospital, but the ambulance said, Nada, you don't need to come with us. We will call you when something happens. A couple hours later happens, and she calls all the hospitals. And then she finds out that he is in surgery at that time and rushes over. And that's when she comes in to see me. That's kind of the timeline. In her eyes, I knew that she felt really guilty for not being there for him. So now, one of the things while I was there is I had some extra water and tangerines. It's kind of random. I just always like bringing extra stuff. You guys know I have a water bottle with me at all times, and I had extra bottles. And I told her one of the things that for situations like this, like she can't blame herself for it, right? The hospital didn't call her, but I knew that she kind of felt that if he passed away in the OR, she would feel guilt for that. At that point, what do you really tell someone, right? I think human words can't express comfort. So I threw a Hail Mary pitch. I said, hey, would you like to pray together? And I basically said, if you don't want to pray, it's okay. You know, I was surprised because I don't do this too often. And she reluctantly said yes. So when we prayed, we just prayed for Che, who was in surgery. We prayed for her burdens. And afterwards, she was very, you know, after you pray, you feel very relieved. That stress goes away. And she asked me a question. She asked, I used to be Christian. I left the church a while ago. And what denomination are you? And I said, I'm Seventh-day Adventist. And her eyes perked up super big. She says, I used to be an Adventist. And I was just like, it's 11 p.m. In the middle of the night, and I meet a former Adventist. At that point, you know, it's like you have that common bond, and I could talk to many deep things. And she began confessing a lot of the things that she was hurt and people in her church. In particular, one of the reasons she left the church because she was, remember, she was clobbered over by the Sabbath, meaning that the Sabbath when she was growing up was a bunch of checklists. You must do this on Sabbath. You must do that. And she lost the joy, and she left the church. At that point, I just said that no matter what, if you use Jesus as your guide and not people, things will be okay. That we can't rely on people as our guide. And we were able to talk to a lot of the nuances of Sabbath culture. And I told her that if you experience a good church family, then you'll see that Sabbath is a joy. And I kind of encourage you to try again. At that point, I did recommend her to a church I usually go to up there that I really like. And she said, you know, I'll think about it. I'll try it again. At that point, we were entered by the surgeon, and the surgeon came in and said everything will be okay. So that person she was with, Che, did survive the surgery. And afterwards, she said, it was interesting that what she said. She's like, I don't think this is coincidence, right? I mean, why would I be there on a normal day that I meet a former Adventist and kind of help bring her back? But for me, there's a parable that came back, and it's the parable of the wandering sheep. I've read it several times, but I don't think I've really thought about what it was like to find a lost brother and sister. At that very moment, I felt like I found someone who was lost. And it's not my goal to bring her back to the flock, but to help lead her, but God will lead her back. So I'll read Matthew 18, 12 to 14. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out to search for the one who was lost? If he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that did not wander away. In the same way, is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish? So I guess what I'm trying to say is, no matter how tough in a situation you are, God can use you if you're willing. Thanks.
There was a sacred chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor form, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I did my best, it wasn't much. I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I told the truth, I didn't come to fear. And even though it all went wrong, I stand before the Lord of Song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah. 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 the truth, I didn't want to hear. Even though that all and all has been before, that what I saw, but nothing of my tongue but hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. For the was a sick chord David played, and it pleased the Lord. But still don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the path of the king composing. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The King of Earth, it was much. I couldn't feel, so we tried to touch. We told the truth, we didn't want to fool you. And even though it all went wrong, we stand before the Lord of Souls with nothing on our tongue but hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Thank you for that special music, ladies. Today we're going to have one of our good friends, Peter Chung, share. He's been here before, and it's been a blessing every single time he's come to share. And today he's going to share about the New Start, the health message, and just how it has been a powerful change and transformation in his life. So we'd like to invite Peter up to come and share.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. It's happy to be back here again with my Vietnamese brothers and sisters and the family of God here. This is one of my favorite potluck spots, along with the Cantonese church down the road. Those are my two favorites. So I'm glad to be back, not only for the food, but for the fellowship. Amen. Today, I know you're doing a series on making Jesus practical, and I just want to share with you my journey in health. I've struggled with my weight a lot ever since I was young. I came out pretty big for my age, and I've endured a lot of issues with my weight. So just want to share with you how God's health message has helped my life. So the title of my message is very simple. It's called New Start. New Start. And before I begin, let's have a word of prayer and ask for God's presence at this time. And that God will certainly bless his message because I'm a man of flesh and blood. Let's pray. Holy Father, our Father and God in heaven, Father, we thank you that we're here this Sabbath day, that we could worship you in spirit and truth, that we have the religious liberty to do so. And Father, we thank you that you protected us throughout the storm yesterday, that you brought us here safely today. So Father, in spite of myself, may you bless the people with the message of this word. May I be a blessing, not a curse to them. And may your Holy Spirit fill our minds and fill our hearts to teach us your love and that you desire to give us life and life more abundantly. We ask for something special today, Father. We ask for changed hearts, that we grow closer to you. This we pray in Jesus' name. As most Asian folk and as most Korean people are, I was a huge meat eater. My favorite type of meat to indulge in was fried chicken. No, not the Korean kind. That's the fake one. I mean, I'm talking about real fried chicken, like the one from the hood in Fair Oaks in Pasadena. Church's fried chicken, the extra greasy kind. The one where the napkin melts when you put it on the fried chicken. That greasy kind. I love that. That was some good stuff. I became vegetarian in 2002. But I still had struggles with my weight and my appearance even then, because even at that time, I just ate a mostly plant-based diet but did not exercise, did not do other things in the principle's health. And still, I look kind of big. That was me a few years ago, still in ministry. That's what veganese does to you. And a sedentary lifestyle. You still have struggles with my weight. And so I had an episode with my health. And this is where I want to start off this message. It was a few years ago. I was visiting my parents. My parents live in Portland, Oregon. And I just want to spend as much time as possible with my parents because obviously with my busy schedule, I don't get to see them much, maybe twice a year. And we were headed to the airport, Portland International Airport, PDX, and we went and entered into the airport, and we noticed that the TSA line was very short. And so there was a lobby right next to the TSA line, and me and my family, my parents and I were just talking and just catching up and just talking about life in general. And, you know, the line was short, so, you know, no problem, I could pass through security so quickly. But in the space of 5 minutes, the line became extraordinarily long. And I lost track of time, and it was about 20 minutes till my flight. And now I was in line, and I was frantic. And I told my mom, I don't think I'm going to make the flight. Can you tell Southwest to let me know my situation so they could delay the flight? My mom went to the ticket agent, said that. She came back, said, oh, they're not going to delay the flight. They can't do anything about it. And then, to the goodness of people's hearts, they put me in front of the line. And so the TSA agent said, you know, kind of rebuked me, said, you know, you should have known better. You should have been prepared. You should have entered in 2 hours early. I said, I know, sir. I'm sorry. And so I managed to clear security. Now, at that time, I was in media ministry, and I had heavy bags with equipment. And also I had a lot of books because, you know, I carry a lot of books at that time, not, you know, not PDF in my computer. So I had a lot, about 15, 20 pounds of equipment. And so 5 minutes before the plane was about to go, I had to run, sprint. My dad said he never saw me run so fast in my life. So I sprinted all the way to the terminal, and the gate was about to close, and I made it right when the flight attendant was about to close the door. And so I felt good that I made it. Then as the plane took off, I did not feel so good. I felt very queasy. And I felt like I was going to lose my lunch. And in my head, I said, you know, isn't there a barf bag here? That's right. They have one here, right? And so I got the barf bag from the seat in front of me, or the compartment where they have the flight directions. And my precious lunch that my mom made the miso soup, the vegan sushi, and everything like that just came out of the barf bag. That was so sad. My mom's precious lunch. Tastes so good. Now it's lost. And so now I was hyperventilating. I was short of breath. I threw up my lunch, and then the flight attendants knew that something was wrong with me, so they like did cold compresses upon me and everything like that. And I had a friend that was in that same flight. She was an EMT. She saw the whole thing, and she was laughing at me. Some friend she is. Andrea. This is going to be on audio, so I'm going to call her out. Anyway. And so I posted my situation on Facebook. I had a spiritual object lesson, for example, that if you delay, you may lose out in salvation. That was the object lesson I learned. God speaks through real life situations. And I posted it on Facebook. And then I had a medical missionary evangelist, a guy that was a mentor to me, a man that was a mentor to me in years past. He posted something on my Facebook. He commented, he said, "Brother Chung, if you don't change your life, you're not going to be around long enough with us. I'm going to send you a program." And then that got me thinking that I need to change my life. Being vegetarian is not enough. I have to do other things, integrate the other laws of health. And so that became my journey to New Start. You know, the Bible says in 3 John 2, "Beloved, I wish above how many things? All things. That thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." So God wants above all things for us to be in health. God desires our physical well-being. In fact, the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Now, if we don't understand this context, the Seventh-day Adventist Church and the values and the lifestyles that we adhere to may sound very, very, very restricted. But when we realize that we see it from God's love and God's eyes, that God wants to give us life and life more abundantly, that's when we know that God wants to free us from the consequences of bad health. That's why He has given us the laws of health. Not to restrict us, but to liberate us. And that's what God desires us to do. In fact, what condition must we be in order for us to make it to the kingdom of heaven spiritually? The Bible says in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, that we must be fit for the kingdom of God, spiritually speaking. So what happens in the physical is object lessons to what is in the spiritual. Everything in real life is a lesson that God is trying to speak to us about what God is trying to tell us, even through our real life situations. Our real lives, our episodes in life, our daily lives is a sermon that God's trying to talk to us about. And that's what I've been learning. And so notice what fat represents spiritually. I'm not saying obese people are not going to make it to heaven. Amen. I'm just saying spiritually. Notice what the Bible says in Psalms 37, verse 2. Psalms 37, verse 20. The Bible says, "But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away." So the Bible tells us that fit people, spiritually fit people, will go to heaven, and fat represents wickedness, sin. So God has given us 8 laws of health. Some of you know it's called New Start. In fact, Ministry of Healing, page 127, paragraph 2 says about New Start: pure air, sunlight, abstemious rest, exercise, proper diet, the use of water, trust in divine power. These are the true remedies. Every person should have a knowledge of nature's remedial agencies and how to apply them. It is essential both to understand the principles involved in the treatment of the sick and have practical training that will enable one rightly to use this knowledge. You know, the more that I live my life and the more we have information, we're truly, as the Seventh-day Adventist Church, a blessed people. You know, the world is now catching up to the gospel of health that we've been teaching for over 150 years. And so God has given us a precious treasure, but oftentimes, when we're familiar with it, we don't appreciate it. Is that correct? And so today, I hope that we appreciate more the laws of health. In fact, research shows, and this is from CNN.com, eating large amounts of meat, cheese may be as deadly as smoking, study says. Now, Spirit of Prophecy says that we should transition out of a flesh meat diet or flesh food diet And we should transition out of dairy. And now science and CNN is even saying, now by the way, this is not fake news, amen? That large amounts of meat and cheese is deadly for us. Now, the Center of Disease Control, May 21, 2013, six in 10 people are either overweight or obese, and large numbers engage in unhealthy behaviors like smoking, heavy drinking, or not exercise. And there's a health crisis, and this is from the Center of Disease Control. You know, when you go to the LA County Fair, I think they intentionally trying to kill people. Krispy Kreme, donut, fried chocolate, bacon, whatever thing. They're trying to kill us. Kind of scary. We should sue them. And so, God has given us a plan. Councils and Diets and Foods, page 81, says this. Grains, fruits, nuts, and vegetables constitute the diet chosen for us by our Creator. These foods, prepared in as simple and natural a manner as possible, are the most healthful and nourishing. They impart a strength, a power of endurance, and vigor of intellect that are not afforded by a more complex and stimulating diet. So the world gives us Krispy Kreme, donuts, deep fried bacon, chocolate, whatever. God gives us mangoes and pineapples and kiwis and strawberries, and we can make it into a smoothie with honey. God gives us something better than the processed food, and you feel better. And you are less guilty because we're conscious about our weight. In fact, notice what this says about food. This is from Dr. John Furman. He's a family physician. He's a best-selling author. You know, what we eat determines our emotions and our mood as well. Two studies compare mood scores in subjects eating vegetarian or omnivorous diets. In an observational study, vegetarian Seventh-day Adventists reported more positive mood and lower levels of depression and anxiety compared to omnivore Adventists. And so, science is saying, and as they study this connection with diet and emotions, that people that eat a plant-based diet has more of a positive attitude. And guess what? As I integrated the laws of health, I became a less sad and depressed Korean and a more happy Adventist. Amen. You know, Korean people are very stressed out, contrary to what K-pop shows you. Now, this is Dr. Michael Greger. Now, these both doctor physicians, they're not Adventists. And Dr. Greger, I heard him speak personally. And you know, when he was presenting his research, it was like Councils and Diets and Food that Ellen White wrote. You know, Ellen White had a third grade education. And here's this doctor that's basically validating everything that she wrote. And I was like, wow, we really have the truth. God has spoken to a third grade educated woman to give us the health message 150 years before. And now this medical doctor who people pay a lot of money to listen to, and he's earning a lot of money by selling his books, is telling you the same thing, only with statistics. God wants to give us life and life more abundantly. And notice, he writes about diet and depression. Eating fruits and vegetables may promote emotional well-being among healthy young adults. Experience that apple a day keeps the blues away. So not only does the food help you with your weight and your body, but it also helps you with your emotions. You see, I've had struggles with depression. In fact, when I was in high school, I was so depressed that I attempted suicide. You know, I was a bully kid back in high school. I was well known in high school. People respected me in high school. They may have hated me, but they respected me. But even with all of that social status and all of that quote-unquote power, I was depressed. And God is wanting to give us life and life more abundantly, and the food we eat affects our emotions. In fact, Inspiration says, Messages to Young People, page 242, right physical habits promote mental superiority, intellectual power, physical stamina, and length of life depend upon immutable laws. Nature's God will not interfere to preserve men from the consequences of violating nature's requirements. He who strives for the mastery must be temperate in all things. Daniel's clearness of mind and firmness of purpose, his power in acquiring knowledge and resisting temptation were due in a great degree to the plainness of his diet in connection with his life of prayer. So there's a physical part that we play, and God supplies the spiritual. So God wants to give us as much advantage as possible because he realizes in these last days that people will be sicker, that people will suffer depression, that people will suffer sadness, that people will have all sorts of health challenges. So God says, my children, I'm going to give you a health message so when these bad things happen, that you don't have to go through it. That's the purpose of the health message. God wants to give us every advantage possible so that we can be the head and not the tail. If you go to the next slide. Now, this is a rapper named Jada Kiss. And he was telling about his lifestyle as a rapper. He was a famous rapper back when I was in high school and college. He was with P. Diddy and, you know, these rappers that you don't know anymore. Anyway, I'm 41 years old, so you don't care. But Jada Kiss was a rapper. He was a star rapper. He toured with Biggie Smalls and Notorious B.I.G. He was part of a rap group called The Lox. And he had problems with his health, and he had problems with his temper. And then he started to realize that he needed to make changes in his life. And he became a plant-based diet practitioner, and he opened a juice bar in the inner city. And what he shared in Al Jazeera television is this. He said that now that he is subscribing to this plant-based diet, you know what? He gets less angry. He's more calm. He's the one to kill people. And he realized that diet and lifestyle has a lot to do with our behaviors and our mood. And so God has given us physical food to help us to make better decisions, to be happier people, and to be healthier people. Now, just like the physical, we also have the spiritual. Notice what the Bible says in Job 23, verse 12. Oh, sorry, my remote is... What is going on? Can you go to the next slide, please? Can you notice what the inspiration says in Bible Commentary, page 941, paragraph 1. The body will die if deprived of suitable nourishment, and so with the soul. In order to have spiritual strength or even life, it must be nourished by the word, which is spirit and life. It must be constantly fed by the truth, which connects the soul with him whom we live and more and move and have our being. So just like God wants to nourish us physically, God wants to also nourish us spiritually. And so how does God want to nourish us spiritually? Notice what the Bible says in Job 23, verse 12. The Bible says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So the word of God is our spiritual nourishment, just like our physical nourishment is our food. In fact, Psalms 119, 103 says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. So as you eat and partake of the Word of God, as you spend time in the Bible, it will become sweeter and sweeter and sweeter to you. Just like when you first try to subscribe to a healthy lifestyle of plants and fruits and vegetables, it may take some getting used to. But as you eat more and more of it, it becomes sweeter, tastes better, and tastes better. Man, give me tofu over fried chicken any day nowadays. Amen. And so as we partake of good things and we get used to it, it becomes sweeter. You know, I started studying the Bible seriously when I was 25 years old. Before that, I didn't care, really. But as I study the Bible more and more and more, as I take time to study the Bible more and more, it becomes sweeter and sweeter. So just like nutrition, God wants us to give us health, so too, God wants to nourish us spiritually. In fact, notice what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 12 to 15. What type of nourishment should we have? The Bible says, for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So As you start the Word of God, it may be milk to you. But as you grow and grow and eat more of it and you grow in Christ, just like when you eat more, you grow. I ate a lot. That's why I grew tall. Just like that, as you feed yourself the Word of God, you will grow more and more in character of God, and the milk will transition to spiritual meat. Now, what is the diet that God originally gave to us? Notice what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. The Bible says, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree, yielding seed, so it shall be for meat." So in the physical, God's original diet for us was a fruit and plant and nut-based diet. That's what God desired. And so God wants us to also partake of fruit and become fruit. Notice what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith." Faith is having hope in the midst of hopelessness, having a positive attitude that God's word will prevail even in our present situation, even though it looks hopeless. Meekness. We learn about meekness in Sabbath school, not to try to dominate someone, to have their best interests in mind. Temperance, which is self-control, which many don't have today. Against there is no law. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And the Bible also says in Proverbs 11, verse 30, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." So God wants us not only to partake of the food, but become fruits of righteousness to share what we learn with other people. And ultimately, Revelation 22, verse 2, God is going to partake, God is going to provide us with fruit when we have the new heavens and the new earth. Just like before sin, God provided us with fruit. Then after sin is done with and we have the new earth, God is providing us, according to Revelation 22, verse 2, a tree of life that bears 12 manners of fruit for the healing of the nations. So just like the physical, God provides it with the spiritual. And so, nutrition is the first law of health. Exercise is this next one. Inspiration says, in Council of the Churches, page 160, paragraph 7, "The time spent in physical exercise is not lost. A proportionate exercise of all the organs and faculties of the body is essential to the best work of each." So, I told you that when I first started ministry, I just studied the Bible and I tried to eat right. But, you know, I was vulnerable to being discouraged a lot because ministry could be discouraging. I was prone to negative emotions. I was irritable. And I struggled with negative emotions. But as I start to exercise, and now I go to the gym 5 days a week and I do cardio, my mind feels a lot better. I could think clearer. My negative emotions, I could see past them now. God wants us to exercise not only so that we can look good, but so we can think better. And so we know that exercise, according to scientists, that 30 minutes of daily exercise of moderate intensity is sufficient for the means of maintaining good health. That's what science tells us. Exercise is known to be an effective as antidepressant drugs or cognitive behavior therapy or improving the symptoms of depression, according to Dr. John Furman. Like I said, I struggle with negative emotions. But as I began to exercise along with a plant-based diet, I became happier. I smiled more. And my preaching became a lot more positive. You see, before then, I was just focusing on the doom and gloom that we need to get right with God. God is going to pour out the seven last plagues soon. And if you don't get right, we must get ready for the mark of the beast or else you will be lost. That was the type of message that I preached. But now, my frame of mind is more positive. And so therefore, we are going to have a time of trouble. We are going to have the mark of the beast. But guess what? When we love God and we serve him and we know him and we understand his character and we want him in our lives, guess what? In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, God will deliver his people from the time of trouble. See the difference? One was, you have to get right, get ready. The other is, God loves you. And if we get ready, he will deliver us from the time of trouble. And so my mood and my sermons and my preaching and my ministry shifted when I started to exercise. And I felt better. And now I could sprint to the airport and not throw up my lunch. Amen. In fact, we need to do spiritual exercise. The Bible says in Acts 24, verse 12, that herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and towards men. So the exercise that God tells us to do, according to the Apostle Paul, is to not be offense towards God and unwilling towards men. And what is this exercise? How do we do this? Walking is the best form of exercise in the physical sphere. In the spiritual sphere, walking is important. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, the Bible says, walk in the truth. 2 John chapter 1, verse 6, walk in His commandments. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 through 6, walk as Jesus walked. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 and 9, walk in the light and accept Jesus' forgiveness and cleansing through confession. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, Noah was a just man and a perfect man, and he walked with God, and just like in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And so, just like physically, cardio is important, spiritually, when we walk as Jesus walked, when we walk after His commandments, because not because we want to earn our way to salvation, but because we know that He knows that He wants to give the best for us, when we walk in His law, that's when we become stronger spiritually. Exercise is the next one. In fact, 2 John chapter 1, verse 6 says this, and this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. And so the next law of health is water. And what does water do? Water is the best form to obey our thirst. You know, those that drink Coke and those that drink caffeinated drinks and coffee and everything like that, I'll say this. You know, when I was in college at PUC and as a history major, you had to read like 30 books, a lot of books, like in a month and so on. So you know what I did back in college? I was addicted to caffeine. In fact, one time I was so addicted to caffeine that I took Vibrin, you know, that stimulant, and two Cokes at the same time to stay awake. It's pretty bad. But do you know when you drink caffeine and Coke and something, Coke and soda and all that, do you know that makes you more thirsty? That dehydrates you? And it comes out of you more and faster? And so God is wanting to give us water because water sustains our thirst and fills our thirst, but also transports nutrients in our body and cleanses our system to make us cleaner blood, and cleaner blood goes to our brain for cleaner thinking and better health. And just like water in the physical sphere, God provides us water in the spiritual sphere. Notice what the Bible says in Isaiah 44, verse 3. The Bible says, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. God provides water, which is his spirit. And notice what the Bible says in John chapter 7. What type of water did Jesus promise? John chapter 7, verse 37. I scrambled this slide. Okay. Notice what the Bible says in John chapter 7, verse 37. We'll turn there. John chapter 7, verse 37. John chapter 7, verse 37. The Bible says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water. But he spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the Bible says that that water represents the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we receive the Holy Spirit? Luke chapter 11, verse 13. The Bible says that when we ask, the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit. Much more than we, as being evil, give good gifts to our children. When we ask God, He will give us the Holy Spirit. But another condition in Acts chapter 5, verse 32 is that Holy Spirit is given to us when we obey Him. You see, the disciples were given the Holy Spirit when God commanded them to go to Jerusalem. If they went to any other place, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have been given to them. So the condition is to ask and to obey. And why do we obey God? Because we love him. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So water is the next thing. Next up, you have sunshine. Vitamin D helps us and lowers blood pressure, increases circulation, and the easy use of oxygen, and converting the body's cholesterol into a good thing. So we need sunshine. You know, us Asian folk, we don't like the sun, do we? We want to be pale Casper, the friendly ghost white, especially Korean folk, and put milk. Yeah, anyway. But we need sunshine, amen? What type of sun that God wants to give us? Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. The Bible says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the sun of righteousness arise with healing in his wings." So God is the sun of righteousness. Jesus, who is God, is the sun of righteousness, and he brings healing to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, "For God commanded the light to shine out darkness, that shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So that sunshine is the knowledge and the glory and the character of God. And how do we get that character in God to be tanned in our faces? By beholding. Psalm 17, verse 15 says, "For as for me, I behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." The more you look at something, the more you become it. When you look at the sun brings an impression upon you, either tan or red. Is that correct? So too, the more that you behold the sun of righteousness, the more his impression will be upon our character. And so the sunshine, although physically we need it, also spiritually, the more we behold and look upon the life of Jesus and see Jesus and read upon him, we become changed into the image of Jesus. He leaves an impression on our characters. Next up is temperance. We know that temperance deals with things that are bad. Avoid the things that are bad completely and use in moderation things that are good. Now, there are a lot of things that are bad recently that are developed to try to trip us up in our health. We have caffeine. We have drugs. We have alcohol. We have soft drinks. We have alcoholic beverages. We have all these things that seek to destroy our health. But what does the Bible say about temperance? Notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. The Bible says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." So the Bible encourages and admonishes us to have temperance in all things. In other words, self-control. Now, as a teacher, there are some students that exhibit lesser self-control than others. But as I study their life and their pattern at home, it's not because they don't want to have self-control. It's because they're carrying baggage from their life outside of school. And so God is seeking us to teach us self-control, because when we have self-control, less drama. You know, when someone says something rude to you and you want to fight back and say something unkind back to them, and you stop yourself, that's self-control. And as you exhibit self-control in your diet and your food and your health, so too, God will give you the strength for self-control when you deal with others. Now, notice what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. The Bible says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." So temperance or self-control is very important. And how do we get temperance? Well, the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5, that's temperance. And how do we get the Holy Spirit? By asking him for it. So God will give us the power of self-control if we ask and believe that we will get it, and he will give you that power. Now, there are times when, because of our sinful carnal nature, that oftentimes we may slip and make mistakes. But when we go back to God, God will give us that greater degree of temperance and self-control, and we learn from our mistakes, and we grow from our mistakes, and we build upon our mistakes, and we will be people of self-control. You know, I was indulgent in food. I had no self-control with fried chicken. I'd eat like 4 or 5 pieces at a time. You know, they had a KFC buffet fried chicken down the road while back in early 2000s. I went there like twice a week. I ballooned to like 210 pounds. The extra crispy kind too. The really greasy kind. But now when I look at that, I'd rather have tofu. God has given me self-control. And God wants to give us self-control, either be it food or diet or in choices or behavior or even self-control in avoiding sin. God will give us the power and the increase. We just need to ask for it. And notice what the Bible says in Acts chapter 24, verse 25. What is temperance connected to? The Bible says, and as the reason for righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way. So temperance is connected to righteousness and to judgment. And so God is desiring us to give us temperance and self-control in this time of a judgment. We're in a judgment time right now since 1844. But God is giving us the advantage so that we can, through God's power, pass through the judgment. God is giving us every advantage possible to make it in these last days. Fresh air. Air is so important. Without air, we cannot live. Air has negative ions that are electrical charge that fresh air carries that is conveyed to the system when outdoors and deep breathing in its healing power. So air gives a healing power, fresh air. Now, we don't have that much fresh air here. So God will compensate for the difference. Oregon, that's right. Or, you know, go to the Central Coast, get some fresh air. But just like air is good for us, so too spiritually, God gives us a type of air. Notice what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. We're almost done. The Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Job 27, verse 3, the Bible says, all the while my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. So the breath that God gives is the Spirit of God. Now, what air do we breathe in order to access the Spirit? Notice what the Bible says in Acts 17, verse 24 and 25. The Bible says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. So the source of breath, the source of our air and oxygen comes from God. God is the source of life, and God is the source of the spiritual and the physical oxygen that we live, that we breathe. But how do we breathe God's air? How do we breathe the Spirit of God's breath? Well, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, this is how we breathe. The Bible says, for we have not an high priest which come be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So in order for us to access life, God invites us to come boldly to his throne of grace to breathe in his atmosphere. We do this through prayer. Prayer is the breath that we breathe. In fact, notice what the Spirit of Prophecy says. Notice what Inspiration says in Steps of Christ. Page 99. Although there may be a tainted, corrupted atmosphere around us, we need not breathe its miasma, but may live in the pure air of heaven. We may close every door to impure imaginings and unholy thoughts by lifting the soul into the presence of God through sincere prayer. Those whose hearts are open to receive the support and blessing of God will walk in a holier atmosphere, that of earth, and will have constant communion with heaven. So Sister White says that breathing that air, fresh air of life, is prayer. In fact, notice what Ministry of Healing, Message to Young People, page 249, paragraph 3 says. Inspiration says, prayer is the breath of the soul. It is the secret of spiritual power. No other means of grace can be substituted, and the health of the soul shall be preserved. Prayer brings the heart into immediate contact with the wellspring of life and strengthens the sinew and muscle of religious experience. Neglect to exercise the prayer or engage in prayer spasmodically, now and then, as seems convenient, and you lose your hold on God. The spiritual faculties lose their vitality. The religious experience lacks health and vigor. That's why when we say revival, It means that we want to live again, and that live, that life that God wants to give us is through prayer. Prayer is as important as breathing. And finally, we have what's called two more. And next up, we have rest. We know that proper rest is very important to regenerate the body, to give us our start of the day, to help us to think well. Now, rest is something that I struggle with, is because I'm so busy. So by God's grace, I will get better rest. But regularity and rest helps secrete melatonin in our brain. That chemical is used to suppress and control appetite, to give us positive emotions, to give us greater regularity in our lives. So rest is also important. Now, what does God want us to rest from? Notice what the Bible says in Psalms 8:38, verse 4. For my iniquities have gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. So sin causes us to be tired. In Galatians 5:19, verse 21, the Bible says, the works of the flesh is this: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, all these sins, we work ourselves to death with sin. God tells us to rest from sin. Let it go. Lay your burdens upon me. That's why the significance is this. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, that's the famous text. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, that ye shall find rest unto your souls. So when Jesus says, come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, God is telling us to give us our sins to him. Oh, amen. A reminder. Praise the Lord. Repetition deepens the impression. And therefore, God also says that there remaineth a rest to the people of God, that they cease from all their works, and they rest from what's called unbelief. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 and 12. And how do we rest? By the Word of God. When we rest upon the Word of God, we are free from unbelief, and we rest from the works of sin. And that's what God desires to have, is to rest. And that's why God gave us the Sabbath to physically rest from all our labors. Exodus 20, verse 8 and 11. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou do all thy labor and all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath, where we rest from all our labors and all our work. God has set us a day because he knows that we are living in a busy society. We live in a grind. We're constantly tired and we're constantly stressed. And God deserves this day to focus on him, to regenerate, to restore, because rest is important. And that's why God, although he's not tired, rested, because he knew that we could get tired. So he desires us to rest. And finally, our last law, trust in God. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, for the Lord, and depart from evil. So God says to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he will direct our paths. In fact, the Bible says in Psalms 118, verse 8 and 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Psalms 118, verse 8 and 9. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole, and the woman was made whole for an hour. Trust is believing that God's word will be accomplished. Trust is believing that God has a better way than our ways. Even though in our present condition we feel that it's not working, that it feels hopeless, trust is that God's word will ultimately prevail. You know, I want to show you one quick thing before we close. In trusting in God and resting. This is from CNN. CNN.com, May 16, 2016. Research shows us that going to church could help you live longer. And God has given us every seventh day to rest so that we can live longer. So these are the eight laws of health. God wants to give us life and life more abundantly. God wants us to be superior emotionally, physically, spiritually, and God has given us these provisions not to restrict our fun, but so that we can live happy and joyous lives. In closing, I want to share this. Recently, I went to the doctor, and the doctor gave me a checkup. I have a shoulder issue right now. I injured my shoulder, and she was trying to check if that it was more than just a physical injury, because my family has a history of hypertension, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol. Now, I've been subscribing to these laws of health, of exercise, of temperance, and of eating as good food as possible very faithfully for the last 5 years. As I grow older, I become more stricter. But I'm happy to do it. I'm 41 now. I look young, don't I? Amen. And so the doctor was trying to check me out because she knew that my family history, because the doctor also treats my grandmother, my aunt, my cousins. So she knows our family's whole family history, medical-wise. And so they did a very intensive blood test of everything of my situation, like kidneys, of my liver functions, of my cholesterol, and everything like that. And my doctor said, you know what? You don't have anything like your family. You have low cholesterol. Your kidneys function well. You have normal blood pressure. You're in very good shape and very good health. Why is that? My family, most of my family, do not subscribe to the health laws. I've committed to doing because I want to feel better and I want to be happier. And although it may taste good, Korean barbecue tastes good, doesn't it? But after it tastes good, your body feels it and it will catch up to you. But God has allowed me to have these situations to learn from these experiences that now I'm in a better mood now. I'm happier now. I smile more now. And I believe I love God better now. And I'm more fervent in ministry. I'm more patient. I cannot be like this. I cannot function like this 5 years before. As a teacher, you go through a lot of things. Imagine me saying, oh man, you're going to get the 7 last plagues poured out to you, young man, as a teacher. I'd be fired. I'll be the most hated teacher in campus. But God is changing my life. And the 8 laws of health is giving me experiencing life and life more abundantly. And so God wants to invite you to have that life, that abundant life, the 8 laws of health. I invite you to give that a chance. As our scripture said, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you desire to say, Father, today, I want to begin the process of learning your ways. And to start believing and trusting that you have the best for me, that you want to give me life and life more abundantly. If this is our today, Father, today, give me the desire, give me the heart, give me the impulse to try this out, to integrate this into my life. If that's your desire, I simply ask that we kneel for that experience so that we could pray to God for that experience if that's your desire. And those that are not ready, it's okay. You could just sit in your seats. God knows your heart. You may not be ready. Let's pray. Holy Father, our Father God in heaven, Father, we thank you for giving us life and life more abundantly. We thank you for giving us physical laws of health, and that it translates to the spiritual. And Father, as we partake of good food, a plant-based diet, help us to partake of the nutritious food of the Word of God. And Father, as we exercise and go out and do our daily exercise to keep in shape, help us to also exercise our faith and to walk in your law and your commandments. And Father, as we partake of water, help us to also ask for the Holy Spirit to nourish and purify our soul temples. And Father, as we are temperate and avoid bad things, help us to be temperate even in spiritual matter. And Father, as we breathe in the air, the pure air, help us to breathe in the air of prayer. And Father, as we rest from our labors and as we sleep to regenerate every day from our labors, help us to rest in you and rest from the works of sin. And Father, as we trust in you, help us to trust and obey. And Father, help us to believe that you're here to give us life and life more abundantly. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the 8 laws of health. We thank you, Lord, for giving us revival and reformation through these principles, that in these last days, as more people become sick, as more people are succumbing to depression and anger, that you have given us the remedy to all these problems. We thank you, Lord, for your love. Help us to trust in you. This we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.